Well, I am so blessed and honored to be here this morning. And I must confess that I don't speak long. I just want to tell you, I mean, I know you hear that from pastors, but you know, what's the old saying is that when the pastor takes his watch off and put it on the counter, what does that mean? Absolutely nothing. Nothing at all. But I honestly want to thank you for having me this morning. I really want to speak to you briefly about something that's near and dear to my heart. Now, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I did not ask for this calling. Did not ask for it. If it was up to me, I'd be doing different things. But out of a unique blend of God's humor, I guess, he placed me in this position. So I really value what God has called me to do, but also it's the most difficult thing I've ever done in my life. And I'll share a few things with you, but I just believe God really wants to speak to every heart and every mind here this morning. So do me a favor, and this is how I am, so just bear with me. I get a little passionate. I get a little happy. I get to share, I believe, God's heart regarding this life issue and what this is all about. Let me just pray one more time, if you don't mind. Please bow our heads. Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity that you've given us to gather in your glorious name, to submit ourselves afresh to you, to hear from you. Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you just simply move me out of the way and speak to every heart and every mind and every soul here this morning. God, as Psalm told us, you are the one that by divine providence brought us here today. And so we submit ourselves to you saying, God, we are open and our hearts are teachable to hear your voice and to hear your calling. In the name that is above all names, in Jesus' name. And if everyone could agree with me, said, amen. Amen. Now, I move around, so I just want to kind of give you kind of heads up. The title of this message is called True Value. And the first passage of Scripture is John 3:16, and everybody knows it. But I want to go John 3:16, John 17. And you know the setting. Jesus is talking to one of the religious leaders of the day. And he says to him, you know, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Now, I want to go back, but I'm going to go forward a little bit more. But God so loved the world. God so loved you. And you can put your name where that word world is. And that it was unique and it was specific. That God himself was thinking of you when he sent his Son. He wasn't thinking about just a general group of people. No, he was thinking about you specifically. He was thinking about you personally, okay? That God, again, has uniquely handcrafted you to be able to do a number of things. And we'll get to that. But John 3:16 really says something so clear to me that God so loved us. And I want to stick on that word so. That denotes magnitude, value, significance. It's like if you and I were kidnapped, And usually the one that does the kidnapping determines the value. But God wants us to know our value by sending the very best of heaven to retrieve us. So that means that now God created everything. Everything. But God paid for you, which makes you the most valuable possession in time and eternity. Created everything, but nothing less than the blood of Christ, God saw worthy enough to redeem you. You are valuable to God. Now, I know in this crazy narcissistic world that we live in, they try to devalue life, and they try to devalue us. And God wants us to be reminded what it cost him for us. It cost the very heartbeat of heaven in order for us to be in right standing with our Creator. That's how valuable you are. So I want to kind of get that kind of out of the way. See, so God wants us to know that we are so valuable to Him He placed this value on us. We didn't place it on ourselves, but he did it. And said, I want you to know how valuable you are to me, that I'm willing to send the very best of heaven in order for you to know how much worth you are to me. That blesses me to no end, especially when we live in a world that tries to give our value as to what we do or how we look or what we say. God is saying, before any of that, I love you because you're my child, not because of what you do, but because of who you are. That God himself breathed into you his very own genetic makeup, his very own genetic code, which means that you are from eternity. And God wants you to know that. And I go on, and when he said, God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but that that the world may be saved through him. Now, I talked to a lot of hurting people, whether it be at the center, whether it be in the community. I do several different things, ministries in the community. And one of the main things I find that people are always walking around in self-condemnation and guilt. Constantly. And one of the things I really reveal to them, I do some things up at a juvenile jail, Jan Evans, and one of the things I really emphasize to the youngsters is this. You guys, please understand something. God's not here to condemn you. Okay? God's not looking to have you do a whole bunch of things that you're unable to do and then incinerate you. That's not God. He loves you. Now, he did not send his son to condemn you, but to save you. Okay? Now, that's his proactive love toward you. And somehow, some way, these youngsters get it. Because I begin to understand that young people, they're just looking for authenticity. They're just looking for something that's real. Not for people to say how much they love Jesus. They want to see people prove how much they love Jesus. It's not enough to say it. They have to see it. And they have to see authentic beauty because they've been able to overstimulate their senses by this. But when they see authenticity and they see the real goodness of God, they are captivated by the beauty of God and they want more. Now, I would say that with young people, but it's all over. So God wants us to know, and he wants our people to know, that he did not come to send his son to condemn us, but that through his son, we might be saved and have a unique and powerful relationship with him. Let's go on to Psalm 139. And Psalm 139, 1 through 18, I didn't realize when I was young in the Lord that this would be my life word. Had no clue 6 years ago, almost 7 years ago, that I'd be taking over at the helm of Crisis Pregnancy Center. Okay, let's just do a visual. Let's think of Crisis Pregnancy Center and look at me. Come on, y'all, help me. Look, come on now, help me now, really, seriously. Crisis Pregnancy Center. And then look at me and say, how does that fit? Come on, it doesn't fit. I go to myself, Lord, how did this happen? Psalm 139 says, Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. Oh Lord. So with precision and with intention, and with accuracy, God created you. With purpose and thought. Not just a random sense of, I just want to create something. No, he made sure that your mom and dad met each other in order to produce you. Because you have been uniquely, again, handcrafted by God, for others. I'm going to say it again. You have been uniquely handcrafted by God, for God, for others. You're not here to suck up air and go home. There's a unique purpose for which God has created you. And God still wants you to understand, I don't care how old you are, don't care how young you are. God is wanting to fan the flames of your passion. You're still here, which means that there are individuals that are looking to you to hear from God. I'm telling you, I've been all over the country, and people are looking to understand that God has not done with them yet. God has a purpose for them, right? But I want to go to just one passage of scripture in Psalm 139. It says this, all your thoughts toward me are precious. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Now, I really want to emphasize this. God is saying through King David, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's saying that every single thought, son, that I have toward you is precious. Every single thought. Then he said this, if I were to count them or attempt to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And so I just want to do an experiment, okay? I want to do an experiment. Say, just do me a visual experiment. Say we're all nice on a nice sandy beach, okay? And we've got the sea breeze hitting our face. We decide to just reach down and take a handful of sand. And then with our opposite hand, we point our index finger into that pile of sand. We turn over and we start counting those grains of sand. Impossible, right? Help me. Impossible, right? Totally impossible. So God is saying, if you were to attempt to count the ways in which I look at you positively, it would outnumber the grains of sand. So God, listen to me, God is wanting us to recognize that every single, hear me, every single thought that he has toward us are precious. Every single one. So if God's thoughts toward us are continually precious, where can he think a bad thought about us? Help me. Where can he think a bad thought? He cannot. He will not. And God is wanting us to know that we sometimes take bad thoughts about ourselves and we try to have God endorse them. And it doesn't happen. We will think bad about ourselves, or we think awful about ourselves, or we'll take something that someone else says and then we'll apply it to ourselves and think that God is the author of that, and he's not. He's the author of nothing but good when it comes to thinking about you. So listen to me, you were a thought in the mind of God before the elements existed. God thought about you and continues to think about you. If all his thoughts toward you are precious, when does he not think about you? I get passionate about this because I know how negative the world is out there and how ugly they are when it comes to telling people their value depends on what they do. When our God says that your value depends not on what you do, but it's all about who you are. You're my child and I love you. God is wanting us to recognize and God is wanting us to understand that his love toward us is precious. What gets me, and this is what really gets me about what I do, is that every single child that's in the womb of the mother has that type of value. Every single one. God says that I search you and I know you. I know when you sit and when you rise. I perceive your thoughts from afar. I discern you're going out and you're lying down. I'm familiar with all your ways. Before word is on your tongue, I know it completely. I hem you in behind it before. I've laid my hand upon you. I know such knowledge is too wonderful for you, too lofty for you to attain. And you can't go away from my spirit. You can't flee from my presence. If you go to the heavens, I'm there. If you make your bed in the depths, you're there, I'm there. If you rise on the wings of the dawn, if you settle on the far side of the sea, even there my hand will guide you. My right hand will hold you fast. God is saying that every single conceivable aspect of who you are, I know everything about that. And God is saying that every single child, every single one that people are willing to just throw away, he's saying they are precious to me. And I love them. And I have a purpose for them. And I have plans for them. And at the altar of convenience will destroy God's dream. And we'll take it and try to make it into law to destroy the very dreams of God. I'm simply saying that we cannot stand by and allow this to happen. Listen to me. I understand that every single child that is terminated goes and they're with God. I understand that. But then we have mothers that are left with that emptiness. See, most pro-lifers are just that, pro-life, and then after life, they leave it alone. We want to talk the mother into having the baby, and then after that, you're kind of on your own. We don't do that. Not at our center. When we understand that there's life after life. And because there's life after life, we come alongside them, love on them, show them, help them. This is where we need the church. To help us disciple these ones that have been snatched from darkness. Now we need the church. We need the ones that have gone through life, that have something to say, that have experience. Now we have to connect them from us to you. And now they have an opportunity to see what love is really like. To see what concern is really like. Because see, Kay will tell you, where's Kay at? She will tell you that these young ladies and men come through the doors and they are petrified, scared, rejected. But because, listen to me, but because we have made a practice to pray. It's your presence that we need, Father. It's not some quick fix. No, it's your presence that we need. And because we pray the presence of God, when they come through those doors, somehow something changes in them. They feel a peace. They feel a concern. They feel an acceptance that just a few minutes outside the thresholds of that door, they were confused and scared and rejected, but they come through those doors. And they sense something good. They don't know what. We know what. And what was terrible on the other side of the threshold of that door becomes something clearer now. Because they're loved on. And listen to me. We excuse me, hear my heart. We don't try to convince them of anything. We leave that to God. His presence, listen to me now. His presence is so powerful. Hear me. I want you to hear this stat. True, document it. Out of all the young ladies that come through our doors that are abortion-minded, 86% change their mind. I'm going to say it again because I don't think you heard what I just said. I told you to get passionate. So I'm not angry. I'm not going to protest or do drive-bys. I just get passionate. 86% of the young ladies that come through our doors that are abortion-minded change their mind because they sense the presence of God and they see love. Not love talked about. Not scriptures talked about. No, scriptures lived out. And because they see God, because they see the Son of God through others, they begin to, something begins to happen. Church, we need you. We need you. The opposition is yelling loud. And they're screaming at the top of their voices. I'm telling you, because there are significant things that are happening opposite of what they believe. Young men and young women are seeing the value of life. I don't care what the media tells you. I don't care what that fake propaganda tells you. We see it on a daily basis. These babies are being saved. And the dreams of my Father in heaven for them are being fulfilled. See, this is personal for me. Honestly, I did not see how God saw life until I really got into this. And his heart weeps and his heart is broken because, Otto, I wanted to see them get their first tooth. I wanted to see that father be able to see that baby crown and then have a joy that comes in him that he doesn't recognize, never recognized before. I missed that, Otto. All because people are all about listening to the world that tells them that convenience is more important than reality. And this is God's heart. I was telling Chris earlier. I wish I didn't have it. I'm telling you, I wish I didn't have it. Because it's a tremendous blessing to have God's heart, but it's a tremendous burden. Because it hurts. See, I understand something a long time ago. Jesus, when in his glory and in his pain, he'll tell people that are close to him his heart. Because you remember when Jesus took the three to the mountain of transfiguration? He took Peter, James, and John. Remember that? Help me. Remember that? Right? He shows them his glory. Those same three he takes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he shows them his pain. God will show you his glory. He will. But because he loves you, he'll show you how his heart is hurting. And I'm telling you, I wish he didn't. I wish he didn't. Because it changes you. It changes the way you think. Now listen, I'm not here to try to convince anybody of anything. I'm really not. My heart is to simply express to you the Father's heart when it comes to life. It's all through Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, God's desire for life. And I never, in a million years, never thought that I would be in this position. I mean, what was the old saying, Chris? It's like, you know, when you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. My plans was not this. But I believe that God is wanting, hear me now, God is wanting to wake his bride up to the importance. I'm not talking about picketing and rallying. I'm simply saying that if God moves upon your heart to pray, just pray. If God is moving upon your heart to come to the center and volunteer, just come to the center and volunteer. I'm telling you, it'll change things. See, I believe, just like it says in Psalm 139, I believe that we have been and wonderfully thought out by God, handcrafted by God, designed by the greatest architect. And we need to, again, I want you to hear me. We need to understand that God did not make us just to make us. He did not make us just to make us. And I want you to hear me on this too. A small percentage of your existence has anything to do with you. You didn't ask to be born. A small percentage of why you are here has nothing to do with you. Has everything to do with him wanting you here. And there's a unique, hear me, everybody, there's a unique radiance that comes from you whether you see it or not. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians that we are to God the aroma of Christ. And we spread abroad the knowledge and fragrance of him. So wherever you go, whether you understand it, whether you sense it or not, you smell like your dad. You smell like your father. And then God uniquely handcrafted you for a personal radiance so that, stay with me, I'm landing, so that there will be people that will be able to not only see him through you, but hear him through you. You have been created by God, for God, for others. Look at the specific detail in which he created you. Look at the way in which he allowed you to come forth. Look at the way in which he designed you, your hair color, your race, your skin, the way you talk. Everything about you has been meticulously handcrafted by God for the sole purpose of having a unique radiance of his goodness come through you. I'll give you an example. How many of us in this room heard people say some things and it was really good stuff, but then you hear somebody else say it, then it just kind of opens up to you? Nobody? No, nobody? No one at all? I've heard things over and over again. But when someone that God had designed for me to hear his voice through said it, I got it. It opened up to me. Well, believe me, brothers and sisters, God has handcrafted you for that purpose. That there's someone that's out there that God is going, I knew that Otto was not going to be able to hear my voice through anybody else but that person right there. And so because of that, I begin to create that person for Otto, knowing that Otto's not going to be able to hear my voice through anybody but that person. And please understand, and I'm going to say this, God, when he created you, brothers and sisters, when he created you, he was thinking of someone else. He was thinking of someone else when he created you. Because there's a personal radiance that comes from you. that's personal, and that's intentional, knowing that they would not be able to hear his voice through anybody else but you. I say this in closing. See, I told you I'm quick. Please do not buy the lie of the enemy that your time has passed. Please. I would ask you not to do that. I have men in my daddy academy that are in their 60s, and they serve as a tremendous grandfather figure. You figure in our country right now, there is close to 63% of the population are in fatherless homes. 63%. Which means that the young men that come through our doors, the probability of them understanding what a father is nil to none. And as a result of that crazy epidemic in our culture, God designed what we're doing. He designed Daddy Academy. And the Daddy Academy is specifically designated for young men who are coming through our doors who want to take responsibility but don't know how. And all we do is simply we're there for them. There's workshops that we do, things that we do to help them. But when the smoke clears, all they're looking for is someone to help them be responsible. And God set it up. Sometimes, somehow, some way, we think that because we are of a different race or a different or whatever, we think that somehow we don't have relatability. And I'm telling you, there's nothing that replaces true, authentic concern for someone else. It doesn't matter where you come from. And when these young men see it, they gravitate toward it. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes they call too much. Chris, I have to turn my phone off. These guys are calling all the time. They finally saw something that they've been looking for all their lives and never knew it. But when they saw it, they gravitated toward it. I say this in closing. I think I said closing already, didn't I? All right. Told you, I'm a pastor. Sorry. I would say this. After hearing how the Holy Spirit, I believe, put this together, I know your heart is moved. I know it's moved. Because see, when you do this for a long time, you're able to see God looking back at you in the eyes of people. And I see God looking back at me in you. Every single person. Because I know that the Holy Spirit spoke to you. And because I know the Holy Spirit spoke to you, I know that the next thing you're asking, okay, what do I do? Well, we'll take care of all of that. But I'm believing that God wanted to perk and to stimulate your heart. Because the way in which the world looks is trying to feed us information, it's completely in opposition of what's really going on. They're talking about racial division. I don't know about you, I have... The volunteers that I have, it is a glimpse of heaven. I'm telling you, there is no dominant culture in my volunteers. I'm telling you, if you just take a snapshot of my volunteers, where's Kay? Is Kay in there? Take a snapshot of my volunteers, and it would look like that scripture that Jesus talks about in Revelation 7, I think it is. No, 5. It talks about the numberless masses before the throne of the living God from all nations, all tribes, all kingdoms, all tongues. That's what my volunteers look like. So this lie about this racial division that's going on in our country, that is a lie. I live it on a daily basis. That's a lie. The house of God is coming together in so many different facets. It's just remarkable. I can't speak about all of every other city, but I'm talking about this city. And they're coming together for the sole purpose of life. To encourage life. Now hear my heart when I say this. We have a wonderful ministry designated for ladies that have gone down the road of termination. And the enemy has been lying to them about they've done the unforgivable. But God has come under and blessed them and healed them and restored them, have completely annihilated those lies of the enemy. He encourages them and blesses them. So God has done pretty much every facet of healing in this ministry. And I believe God is calling, whether it be prayer or whether for you to be a part of it. Because our city's growing. And it's getting bigger. And every year, we see at least a 5% increase of our clientele. At least 5%. Which means that they're coming. They're hearing about us and they're coming. We have very few advertisements, and so they're hearing it through the word of mouth. We had close to 2,900 services that we did last year that are coming through our doors. And my heart is, we just need men and women of God to be there for them. What does James say? Now, true religion is this: to take care of the widows and the orphans, and to keep yourself from being polluted in this world. Let's pray. Well, Father, we are so grateful for your goodness toward us. We're grateful for your kindness and your love, Lord, that you continue to bestow upon us. God, we thank you that you continue to reveal to us, God, that there are things that you're calling us to do. There are specific things, Lord God, by the way you've created us, that you're calling us to live out the gospel around those around us. Father, I pray for each heart and every mind, each person, Lord God, to be able to listen to you this morning and to respond. Whatever that looks like, Lord Jesus, whatever that looks like, you know your children, you know your people, you know how to communicate. So I just pray that you touch them, bless them, encourage them, God. And God, I want to thank you for the privilege that you've given me to be a part, not only of a great ministry, but also being a part of the body of Christ. Bless every heart and every mind. In Jesus' name, amen.